From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we move on into the hottest part of the summer. And yeah, it's getting hot out there. So appreciate you all being with us here on the Bishop's Hour. And we'd like to remind you, if you'd like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Hour, we have some spots open, and we'd love to have your support, and we appreciate all the people who have helped underwrite the Bishop's Hour for the past 21 years. Just go to the diocesan website, and you can get all our information at scd.org, or send us an email at radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about how you can help underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Well, Jane Lee, God's Heart and Hands Ministry, joins us this morning by phone. Jane, good day to you.
Good morning, Bob. It's good to talk with you.
Good to talk with you. It's been since we've gone to remote, virtual, distance, all these euphemisms for we don't get to see anybody in person anymore.
No, and every time we talk, I think, we're going to be out of this stage of the video game next time we talk. But well, no, we're still in that same video game.
Yeah, it's been a time. My kids always they ask me almost every day. Four teenagers, and they say, "Whoa, what? If somebody had told you, boom, 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 and boom." What would you think had happened? You know, that there's schools are out, elementary schools, colleges and universities. There's no Little League baseball. All spring sports were canceled at all levels. Hospitals are overflowing. What on earth would you think had happened? And you're like, I don't know.
No, and we wouldn't have believed the movie if Hollywood had produced it, that now you can't sing in church.
And all the churches were closed for a long time, and then reopened on a very, you know, very limited basis. And one of the, you know, we keep seeing this case from Mount Vernon, Washington, where a choir practice was going on at a church group there, not a Catholic group, but that doesn't really matter. But they had a practice going on, but they were in an enclosed room, and something like 53 of the 61 choir members got sick, and several of them died. I don't know if it was the CDC or Washington State, health officials, probably all of them working together. Actually went back and reconstructed where everybody sat during this. It was just like a weekday choir rehearsal that went on for a couple hours. They broke in the middle and had, cookies and punch or something in the kitchen at the church, and then came back and did some more practicing. And they figured out who sat where, who got sick, who didn't get sick, just to try to learn from it. But every time you hear about singing in church, that's the one they cite, you know.
And whoever would have thought, as you tell your kids, whoever would have thought about this. And it definitely is a time. This is a time of very purposeful living. We cannot coast through the day. It's not our days are not mindless.
Yeah, we think about everything now. Yeah,
we do. We do, and I think that's one of the hardest things that I'm noticing in people, and with the ministry of God's Heart and Hands, as parents, and particularly mothers, seeing them and promoting them, if you will, as God's heart and hands, how we formulate the society by how we raise our children, but also the filters, like what you're doing with your children when they ask you these questions. You're filtering the world for them so that we can move through, and they can also weave this into what's a lifelong experience for them. When this ends, when it gets back to quote-unquote normal, we will have some semblance of normal. We know that. And just from looking in the past when there's been other pandemics and so on, it does return to a more casual daily life where we're just moving through things, changing things, having goals and dreams and so on. But for right now, how do we have them integrate that? And so seeing ourselves as parents, as God's heart and hands. This is a really pivotal time for us, for parents, and how we're shaping them and helping them through them to see, to have hope in the moment and not fear.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing we talk about every day is God's in charge. And, you know, with four teenagers,
right,
we're facing, the angst of, and it's summer, you know, I want to be with my friends. I want to go to the pool,
right,
or the lake, or go jump in the creek, or, you know,
right,
go for a ride, just go out and have a lunch with my friends, that kind of thing, hang out, as they say. And it's very difficult. And when will it end? And then, you know, you see the spikes and you go, wow, we thought we were over. We thought it was, you know, and everybody was saying in the summer it's going to go away, you know. And
right,
that wasn't just some politicians talking. That was most of the epidemiologists were saying that,
right,
you know, that these things tend to go away. The fear is it will come roaring back in the fall. But we'll deal with that at the time. But it seemed like almost a universal consensus that it would go away in the summer, when in fact now just the opposite has happened. And it's made it, I think that's one of those things where for the longest time we saw it declining like it was supposed to. And we're going, okay, it's going
right,
to, don't worry about it. We're going to take a summer vacation and we're going to do this and we're going
right,
to do that. And then, boom, we're had to lock the door again. And and other parents have a much different situation with young children, you know, who
yeah,
who just don't understand a mask and social distancing and how come I can't see grandma and on and on and on and on, you know. Much more difficult. They don't have that ability to have patience that a teenager does, even though we think of our teenagers as being impatient.
Right.
They,
comparatively so.
They at least have the cognitive ability that a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old just doesn't have to say, well, honey, this is going to be this way for the next couple of months, maybe.
Yes.
That's pretty hard.
Yes. And looking for the advantages everywhere, the young child that you're talking about, the 4 and 5-year-old, doesn't have the attention span the teenager does. So they do kind of think about it. They're more easily distracted. With a teenager, you can reason with, but they do think about it more. They can read more. They access more of it. But I think it's both of those situations for a family, it comes back to what you said, God's in charge. And I think if we shift our perspective, kind of get up out of the stadium and go to another seat in the stadium and look at it from a completely different angle, what if we take the view that this is totally in God's hands. Totally, not just, I mean.
Yeah, not everything. Just a little bit.
No.
Not just he's sort of aware.
Right, right. But what if we just assume he's totally in charge? Oh, okay, he wants us to do this a little longer. He sees he wants more benefit out of this. He's going to bring more out. He's not done bringing good out of this. While it seems difficult to us, do we not know from long term that when we go through difficult times, wow, those were the sweetest of times in many ways. You know, when it seems like every Christmas there's always one kid that's sick on the couch. And at the time, it's just more difficult. But then as the years go by, I noticed that it was clearing the calendar. We had much more family time.
Mm-hmm.
Things just slowed down. All these things that we thought that would just had to be there, no, we didn't. And
well,
we had just beautiful family memories because of it.
We will, I know, look back on this time and count our blessings for the family time that we've had, you know.
Mm-hmm.
even you know, it's kind of embarrassing to admit it, but watching Mass on TV from our local parish,
yes,
I felt that the 6 of us together and you know, somebody sitting in a chair, 3 people are sitting on a couch.
Uh-huh.
One person sitting on the floor, kind of leaning against the wall, you know, all watching the TV, that we were being more attentive.
Mm-hmm.
And especially even to the readings, to the homily, than maybe sometimes we are when we're going to Mass in person. I'm kind of embarrassed to say that, but even afterwards, we're all sitting there together. You know, we're not going out to the parking
yeah,
lot and getting in the car, or where are we going after Mass? Can we go out for donuts, or, you know,
right.
We were just still talking about, well, what about what Father said here? And, you know,
yes.
and realizing, I think in a very positive way, here's Father. There he is. He's in the church. He's soldiering on for us, you know. And those are times we're going to look back and cherish. And then just a lot of the shut in together time that, you know, and we're lucky so far and hopefully into the future that we've all remained healthy. And people where a family member has come down with it and some very sick and some have died. Even those who have just had to isolate or quarantine, that's real difficult. I don't know how, you know, you get six people in a relatively small house, and one of them gets it. How do you really quarantine that? You know,
right.
The logistics of that are just incredibly difficult. And people, and then, you know, the when you add on top of that, the great number of people unemployed, the great number of business owners who are losing their shirt, some of them closing. Every day we see, well, we tried to come back and it's just not working for us, you know, and a lot of people are struggling in just an awful lot of ways. You know, I mean, our two of our teenagers had jobs, you know, in the food service industry, the minimum wage type jobs that kids are able to get, and working hard at it and happy to have a little bit of spending money, and just boom, I just overnight just gone, you know, just completely gone. And right at that age where this is where they learn how to balance their schedules and do work and do schoolwork and, you know, all that and go out to lunch with their friends and actually pay for their own lunch, you know, or they want a new pair of shoes and they can go online and order a new pair of shoes because they earned the money to pay for the shoes, you know.
Right.
Or they can use the money to for charitable purposes. I mean, it's one of those great lessons of growing up, I think, as a parent. You know, even if we were millionaires, I would hope our kids would get those part-time jobs because there's such great learning experiences. There's dignity in work. There's honor in work and teaching them that, you know, you give your employer an honest day's work and hopefully they give you an honest day's wage, you know, and all those life lessons you learn. And, you know, they come home and say, well, there's this one customer who was kind of rude. And you go, well, maybe they were having a hard day. You know, put yourself in their shoes for a minute. They've been waiting in line 10 minutes and you finally were able to get them the cup of coffee and maybe you know, put yourself in their shoes. Who knows? But all those things just ended just like that. Not only don't you have a job, you're kind of confined to the couch or your bedroom right now. And, you know, just all those minor difficulties, if you will, but they all add up. And we just have to, you know, every day say, you know, God's in the middle of this. God's all over this. You know, to use one of the expressions of the day, God has our back. He's got our front. He's got our side.
Right. And what is he calling on us to do? And I think it's actually a blessing, if you will, to have some of the difficulties so that we understand those that have much more, so that we can think, what can we do? Everything you just mentioned, from the shut-ins, what can we do to help them? To the people that are unemployed, what can we do to help them? To the families with young children, what can we do? Can our teenagers make a Zoom call for the younger kids and read a book to them? To reach out to them, to just help that parent that way, to help distract. If we have a few extra dollars, can we donate it or drop groceries off?
Mm-hmm.
When the toilet paper crisis was in the beginning, when that was such a very difficult thing for so many people, down our street, they were pulling a wagon, a family, and they had a little one in the wagon with toilet paper, and they were dropping off one little toilet paper.
Yeah, give me the name of that street.
And they were dropping off a roll of toilet paper on every doorstep. No human contact, but they were just, and then they posted on Nextdoor something about it, just a way of reaching out.
Oh, that's very nice. I was expecting to see people selling it on the street corner, you know.
Yes. But still, with that, I remember when my kids were younger, and I would say to them, I hope you have a little bit of the different difficulties in life, just enough that you understand and really can be compassionate towards those that have a lot of that difficulty, like a sprained ankle, to understand someone with permanent mobility issues, to be without money when you really want something, so you can understand someone that does not have the money for necessities, just a drop of it, so that you can really move into that compassion, just not like, oh, yeah, but really get enough of the experience, of the human experience, because that's what we're called to do. And we've always got something we can share, and going through all of these things, just down, you know, it's Mother Teresa, right? Do small acts with great love. It's the checker, how you doing? Oh, my God. And the look on their face, their face just relaxes. They don't have to keep up, and they have to keep smiling all day, no matter what someone does. Yeah. And that their customers are getting a little more irritable as time is going on. I will say it's very hard to be in the stores right now, as minimally as I am, because every store is doing it different. And then they change, and they add something different. And now this door is not an exit, it's an entrance. And, oh, now it's not even open at all. Things like that.
Yeah, and this lane you're supposed to do this, and this lane you're supposed to do that, and everybody's supposed to wear a mask, but there's two people right there who aren't wearing masks, you know.
Right.
And you're going, right. Why aren't you wearing, you know, and it's just... My wife describes going to the store, which I've always considered one of life's great joys. I love walking through the grocery store. I'll spend an hour there just walking and looking at different products and look at all the about. I enjoy going to the store, and occasionally you run into somebody you know and you chat for a little while.
Yeah.
And you know, I've pretty much stopped going. We've pretty much stopped going. But my wife says when she does go, it's a different scene now. Everybody's on a mission. How fast can I get in here and out of here?
Right.
You know, how little can I get exposed to whatever, you know? And then you look at the people, the starting, you know, they talk about the food chain. And I hear about truckers and clerks and et cetera, who are all a great part of the food chain, who are all doing great work. They're going to work every day. The very start of that food chain are the people in the fields, the people in the meat packing plants, the people in the processing plants. Those people are all going to work, and we're seeing, you know, relatively high rates in some of those industries of the disease, you know, and a lot of those people, you know, it's like if you're getting symptoms, it's like, what do I do? What do I do?
Right.
I have to feed my family, you know, and those are real difficult situations. Those people are heroes. And then, you know, you look at, you know, you get a little nervous standing in line in the grocery store saying, am I being exposed? And then you look at the people, the nurses, the doctors, the orderlies, everybody, you know, nurses assistant, all these different titles that people have in the healthcare system, but all of them going to work every day, and they're not just sort of maybe going to get exposed to it. They're dealing with it every day. I mean, that's why people are in the hospital. They're in the COVID ward, and by golly, you're dealing with them. You know you're being exposed to it every single day, and those people soldier on too, and it's amazing what those people have done for us to try to keep us safe.
Right. And I've heard that this particular experience in society and is more difficult on the average person than the Spanish flu or the outbreak of polio, because of we have access to all this information that just tells us all this. We wouldn't think much about it. So we have much more to think about, and it. All of that, as you go through the store, what you just described, it's very overwhelming. It just takes up every pixel in your brain, if you will.
Well, and every day it seems like there's new information. You know, it's
information.
For a while there, it was all about surfaces. And then it's like, well, no, it's more about it's in the air or, you know, it's,
right.
then it's social distancing. Then it's wear a mask. Very early on, people forget this, we're being told don't wear a mask. I don't think we were told don't wear a mask because it doesn't work. We were told don't wear a mask because the people in the hospitals that are working, they need the masks.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Nobody was saying they're not good. They're just saying those people really need the masks. And I mean, I had a friend who was a dentist who said that was one of the reasons they closed down was they didn't want to use all this gear that should be going to the hospitals.
Well, how considerate. They made a huge financial sacrifice, if you will, a major tithing, in a way, to humanity. And so how do we do this? How do we keep going? Because we're going to keep doing it, and we've got children at home, and this whole picture that we have to help them navigate it as well. And I found what really helped is as I go through the store, Jesus, I trust in you, over and over again, saying it to myself, so that I'm bringing him into it, bringing myself a sense of peace, and remembering that he's in charge. And it's not easy, because I get distracted. But coming back to what you said, God is in control. So that brings us back to that. And when we do, then that's when we have access to peace and to joy. Because gosh knows, if I just read everything else and think about all the information, I don't have access to him. I don't have access to peace. But in the moment, if I make that choice, just the simple thing of in Matthew 18:2, and then I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That seems really strongly worded right now with everything else we're going through.
Yeah.
But then there's a really strong message of become like children. What do your children do? They depend on you. They look to you. Okay, it's good. We can't go out. We're going to find something else. Okay, Lord, I've got what I need. It's minimal, but, you know, it's there when I reach for it. So I can go out and do sidewalk chalk. I can run through the sprinklers, which I have gone out and stood in the sprinklers when it was really hot. And I can make cookies. I can. Have you noticed how many more people are saying hello on the sidewalk? I can go out of my way to do that. And
yeah,
so
you know,
I think we're really... Go ahead.
No, that's one of the readings that, you know, you can keep harvesting it for a long time because...
Yes.
There's another point. I don't have the exact site, but, you know, like when I was a child, I did the things of the child. When I became an adult, I put away the things of a child, which somebody could say, well, that kind of contradicts this other thing. No, it doesn't. It just means that you're now a mature adult. You know, you don't continue to do the kinds of things you did as a child. It doesn't mean you give up that childhood innocence. And I think this reading from Matthew 18:2 is really talking about the trust that a child has, that you need to give it all to God. You need to have complete trust in God, the way a child trusts in a parent. Mom and Dad are here. They're going to help me through this. Mom's driving the car or Dad's driving the car or one of the others making dinner or making my lunch or taking care of my skin knee or I get sick, they're taking me. This trust that Mom and Dad are going to help you is the way we have to – our relationship with the Lord is that he's going to take care of everything we need to be with him. We need to have that trust, and I think it's that – unless you be like children, meaning trust, that complete trust in God, is one of the main ways I look at that quote. And I know there are theologians who look at it in a number of ways, but I think it's a very rich statement.
You're right. You do get different things out of it at different times.
Yeah.
And what you said about the he will take care of our needs, then the algebra equation of life is, well, then other people's needs are not taken care of. How do we reconcile that? It's something we all have to think about. But I would offer that our eyes are seeing it. And if our eyes are seeing the need in someone else, then we are called to do something.
Yeah.
Don't know what it is, whether it's a word, whether it's an action, so on and so forth. But if our eyes are seeing it, the Lord's God is there for a reason. And so going back to he's in charge. And that also the other scripture, and it reminds me so much of what you said, Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. And then the next part is, let us rejoice in it and be glad. So it's like he's commanding us. You can find something to rejoice about.
Yeah, it's like, okay, the alarm went off way too mm-hmm. early. You got up. You looked in a mirror. You're still here. You appear to be still breathing.
Right.
You still have a pulse. You stagger out to the kitchen and make a cup of coffee. And you go, okay, I'm here. There's got to be a reason.
Right.
There has to be a reason.
Yes. But when you said stumble out to the kitchen, there were walls around you. There was a roof over your head. You reached for the coffee. You reached for the water. You reached for the milk. And it was on one of the programs on Catholic Radio, which just is a great thing to listen to all day because you just pick up these nuggets. Is to do a gratitude rosary, to use your rosary beads for gratitude. Because just in getting at what you just said, that one act of waking up way too early, stumbling out to the kitchen, making coffee, I would bet you could get through at least a decade that act alone, every bead being a
Let's
different.
Let's see. I'm looking at my rosary right now. I think there's 55 beads on there.
Right?
Actual beads.
Yes. And then the more what you just said, you woke up in a soft bed that had blankets, that there was a locked door, the roof over your head, you have indoor plumbing, you have a solid floor, not a dirt floor, you reach for the water, there was electricity, you reach for the coffee, and then you put milk or sugar in it. That's 10 right there.
Yeah, but what about that alarm clock? I'm not sure if I'm going to give it a bead. I'm not sure about that. I did not respond positively to the alarm clock going off.
Well, going back to the rooster and the farmer, perhaps that's why they ate so much chicken.
It's one of those things where you expect my reaction to the alarm clock going off, God's going to tell me, you go back to go, you start over.
That's true.
I don't care what bead you're on, you're going back to the start.
Right. And that's one thing. You make a really good point when you say that. Every day is a new start, and I don't want to sound sugar-coated here, but after going through so much difficulty with this, and it's not letting up, every day, what is the scripture about the joy or the trials of this day are enough? Or the trials of this day are sufficient?
Yeah. Don't worry about tomorrow.
Right. Yes.
Number one, it's not promised, and number two, there's enough to take care of today.
There you go. That's it. So if we participate in it, put me in the game, Lord. I'm here. I will show me what you want me to see. And it's the neighbor. It's the clerk. It's the just sharing a smile with the clerk at Trader Joe's because they have it very difficult to be able to. Because their customers are getting brittle. They're getting cranky from talking to them and. It's wearing on all of us.
Well, you know, I'm very, very supportive of, the efforts for people to wear masks, et cetera. And I wear them, obviously I'm on the radio right now in a studio alone. Not only do you need to wear a mask, when you're on the radio, you probably shouldn't be wearing a mask. It changes your voice and et cetera. And so, you speak clearly. And then, generally, when you're at home, you don't have to wear a mask around, family members, presuming everybody's well. You don't have to social distance with family members. But it occurred to me in the grocery store a while ago, the guys in the meat market, the clerks, the checkers, the people stocking the shelves, they're wearing that mask without any break for 8 or 10 hours at a time.
Yeah.
That I think that would be very difficult if people working in a factory, they're wearing that mask every minute. They're a little uncomfortable and they're a little bit, you're kind of sweaty and hot and you're breathing your own air sort of, and it's not, I'm sure the second they get in a car and get home, the first thing they want to do is take their mask off. And I think that's a real sacrifice that they're doing for my health.
Wow. That's beautifully said. That's beautifully said. And that's the perspective. That's looking out. That's seeing it. You found something. You found gratitude. There's another bead. But it's true. It is what other people are doing, how we're all taking care of each other, even complete strangers. And in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So that person, what you just talked about, I see perseverance in them wearing it 8 hours a day. That they had to persevere. They had to get used to something that's uncomfortable. And they and the first phrase is, consider it all joy. Wow. That's a really high mark. I'm still going to work on it, but I can do it one day at a time and one moment at a time. Where's the joy in that? I don't feel at risk when that person's there. I feel that we're all in this together. There's a joy in that. And then plus the fact I'm in the grocery store and they've got chocolate. We haven't run out of chocolate. There's no shortage. So, you know, there's always that and ice cream. But it's considering it joy. It is a real challenge. But then going back to what we said in the beginning is God is in control. And if we look at this, or sometimes what I do is like all the Legos got dumped out of the bucket, everything's being rearranged. And while it's incredibly hard and uncomfortable and just strife and difficulty, I'm going to keep him in the mix. And so many times my prayer is, really, Lord? Really? Now this? But he's always there. He doesn't disappoint. He's always there to walk me through and guide me moment by moment. Because I feel like I hit every card on the everything on the dance card. I feel like I got every piece in life. But okay, but he's always there. It's not easy, but he is always there. Going back to Mother Teresa, right? She sees Christ in the person. She looks for him in the moment. Where are you, Lord? You're doing this now with me. You're showing me this. You're bringing me this. So it's I don't want it to sound insignificant because it's certainly not easy, but it's kind of what makes it all make sense.
Yeah, it does. It's you know, I guess we all run from hardship. We don't embrace hardship. We don't look forward to hardship.
No.
And
it just shows up.
Yeah, and yet you look at it's amazing to me what people have done, like our ancestors what we consider hardship today, they wouldn't have considered a hardship at all, you know.
That's true, and people do kind of get smug about it and say, that's first world problems. Well, you know what? Yes, everyone relative to their own situation, but yeah, everything has been tousled. Everything has been changed. So yes, the human being needs predictability. Needs to, you know, when you put that next foot out there, the next step out there, you're expecting the pavement to meet you. You know, you're not expecting it to fall away. And while we are in the first world and other countries are having it and don't have the resources, yes, and I will do everything I can for that, and I maintain the awareness, and it gives me perspective to understand, you know, how many pallets of toilet paper do we really need to have stored, honestly. But with that, this is the situation. My situation is this, and I have to, he's adjusting my life. And what can I do to help other people, whether I'm in, would have been alongside Mother Teresa, or if I'm in Sacramento. We're all called the same. The mission is the same. The peace is the same. The peace of life and the peace that the Lord is offering us. And in Jeremiah 29:11, broadening it, going past the scripture we all know so well, for I know well the plans I have in mind for you, plans for your welfare and not for woe, so as to give you a future of hope. But then looking on to the next couple of scriptures, there's even more meaning, and we need to make bigger bumper stickers because we need to keep putting the second part on. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you look for me, you will find me. Wow.
That is thanks to you. Jane always sends some of these quotes to us ahead of time just to ponder a little bit. The biblical sites, that one just really moved me. That one is really profound. It was so comforting. It was first off, for I know well the plans I have in mind for you. Like, oh, you actually have plans for me, little old me? You actually have plans for me specifically?
Yes.
I mean, not just plans for the world, plans for this, that, and the other thing. You've got plans for me. And then plans for your welfare, not your woe. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, put too much burden on you. This is a plan for your welfare, so as to give you a future of hope. Like, okay, trust in me. I'm giving you hope. And then the part that really made me want to get down on my knees or go into a small place somewhere and close the door and be alone.
Mm-hmm.
When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. I will listen to you. When you look for me, you will find me. You will.
Wow.
With, quotes, underline, italics, will find me. That is so comforting. That is so profound, so meaningful that it's like, Jane, excuse me, I need to close this interview right now, close the door, and I'm going to start looking for God, because he said, if I look for him, I will find him.
Right. It just takes your breath away, doesn't it?
It does.
It does.
And it's in a good book, so you know you can trust it. It wasn't some author just dreaming along.
No, and that's true, and it's these times of everything that we used to distract ourselves with, or we just kept our—I won't say kept ourselves busy with, because sometimes we did—but the things, just the busyness of life, of raising a family, of supporting ourselves, of just being in it. There was just always so much. But then, for it all to be loosened and falling away in different ways, and it isn't happening to everybody. I see people that are, I understand it. One of the major retailers, all the big screen TVs were gone because of the stimulus checks. But then I also heard where they were donated to the food banks. Hmm. So, but through all of that, is everything you just said, and it brought tears to my eyes listening to how it impacted you. That he does listen. We will find him. Wow. And if I walk with that, then I just bring a different sense to the people that I encounter. Just being able to, and through all of this, I've really honed my ability to sit with someone else's difficulty. Just to stand there with them in it. Don't fix it. Don't distract it. Well, you can do this. Well, what about this? No, that's none of it. And having a few friends that have adult children with severe mental illnesses that are in and on and off the street and into care facilities for short term, but we don't have anything long term. Wow, that is so powerful. And I've found that the Lord has blessed me with the grace to just sit in their situation with them and just be with them, be in the discomfort because they feel so alone.
You know, it's amazing to me. I have heard this from people who participate in Meals on Wheels and various other programs like that, that so often the people they're delivering the meals to, it's not the food, it's the somebody at the door, somebody to talk to, somebody to spend a minute or two with, and unfortunately that's one of the things that's gone by the wayside by this. I'm going to leave the food outside the door and ring the doorbell, and then I'm going to be gone,
Right.
And yet you look at the people say, well, how do we reach out during this? How can we help? You look at the work that the members of the St. Vincent de Paul Society, for instance, that they do, going out, meeting people where they are, going out and just without a specific plan of how we're going to, what does this person need? How are we going to help them? Let's hear their story. Let's, they go out to the people. They don't say, well, come to the office. We'll give you appointment Tuesday at 10:30. That's not how they do it. They go out and the Knights of Columbus, all these millions of bereavement ministries, all these ministries in whether it's the diocesan level or at the parish level, Catholic Charities of here in our diocese, the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services, Sacramento Life Center, Bishop
We're
Gagos,
finding a way, aren't we?
Yeah, well, Bishop Gagos Maternity Home. You go you go on and on and on, all these great people reaching out and helping people who are in need, and sometimes in very serious need. And it's just, and you look at all the different areas, let's say, for instance, Catholic Charities and Social Concerns. It's not just Catholic Charities. It's Catholic Charities and Social Concerns. The help they do with refugee resettlement, the help they do with immigration, with the help they do with helping people learn the language, on and on and on. Citizenship questions, things like that. You look at same thing, Sacramento Food Bank. You hear food, feed people, and family services. All these other things they do. Right now, they've had to not do as much of the other things because the feeding the people, it became such a huge job. But all of those things, I look at there used to be a group, and I'm not sure, Showers on Wheels, giving showers to people who, baby showers to people who otherwise wouldn't get a baby shower.
Oh, wow.
You know, just a beautiful, beautiful program.
Creative, and it's all
volunteer, I've been at some of their events where they brought such joy to these expectant mothers and fathers and siblings. Just beautiful stuff. People doing volunteer, not a big organization, just relying on small donations and then doing a lot of the labor and a lot of whatever finances were involved on their own, just through themselves,
Yes, yes, and everything you've talked about is just the human to human. It's that human contact, and if anything, because they can't go to an office, so to speak, it's coming down more to the human, finding a way, and the Meals on Wheels of not being able to speak with them, perhaps it's the Zoom call, just seeing someone face-to-face. It's still encouraging. It's just, there is something about being with people, 6 feet away even, but the Zoom call, it's just people, we're finding, I think, through this, it's stripping away the resources to be busy and the things to be busy too. You can't sit in the coffee house right now, but you can still go get it. But the chaos, the buzz, so to speak, has been cleared, and it's really uncomfortable. But then more is coming out all the time about how families, their adult children move back home. In fact, one of my old students, I tutor math. And she's out of college now, and she's home from New York, and she's working from home. And, her mother is jubilant to have her home for that. So the benefits are showing up. I saw a father and his children in the park playing, and I commented that it's just so beautiful to see that the dads are getting more of an opportunity to take that time. And he was beaming just to have somebody in his community. He didn't know me, but just to say that, I just have to tell you, I've raised my children, and that's a beautiful experience. It's just so sweet to see. He was just beaming from that feedback from the village, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a beautiful opportunity that's coming out now, is more time with our children. And while parents were really burdened with the homeschooling aspect and the distance learning in this past spring, there were positives that came out of it. They are reassessing. They're just seeing things. We're just seeing things differently. And so coming back to what you said about considering it all joy, and this is, let us rejoice in what we have in front of us. Sometimes we really do have to dig deep. I can say that it's taken me quite a bit at the end of the day, some days, to find 55 beads. And actually, I had to go to, thank you for this difficulty, because I'm learning this. I had to look at the difficulties to find gratitude in them. And curiously, that they took on a different feel when I did it. I didn't feel quite so burdened because I had to acknowledge the growth that I was making and that I was experiencing because of it. But still, I had the experience. I walked away feeling that I had said in my mind, thank you that my lungs can breathe easily. And that was a bead, but I had to have that thought in my mind to look to see where the Lord was. And to see him and to recognize, wow, he's there so much more than I saw before.
Yeah, you know, the 55 beads on the rosary. I hope I've got that number right. I'm pretty sure I do.
I think you do. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Sounds right.
The maybe 55 people that I'm thankful for.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You know, maybe past and present may have to be past and present. But 55 people, and believe it or not, you're probably, if you really could spend some time on it, you're going to realize that some of the people that you now appreciate, you maybe didn't appreciate at the time.
True.
You know, maybe a teacher that you thought was being too hard on you. I remember.
Right, going back into your history. That's right.
Yeah, I remember having a PE coach in high school who was a pretty tough guy. You know, and he was pretty hard on us. And I don't know what they do with PE anymore, but back then it was segregated between the boys and the girls. We don't know what the girls were doing, but we were doing this, you know. And it was like, it felt like basic training in the military, you know.
Oh boy.
And and at the time, you're just like, oh, I just don't even want to go to PE. I don't want to dress out today. I've got a sore throat. Uh-huh. You know, it's like, and now, I look back, and realize what he was doing, and he set me on a path of you know. That physical fitness was I mean, we can all obsess on that and make it way too important, you know. It was good for me. There was some good discipline in it. There was some, you know, doing something a little bit difficult for a greater good. All those life lessons that. At the time, if you'd asked me, was I going to be grateful for this guy at some point in my life, I'd say, no. You know, why do I have to take PE? But, you know, it was, we used to joke that, you know, he would, when you first showed up for PE, you'd see he had rolled the basketballs out on the floor of the gym, you know, and you go, oh, good, we're going to play basketball today. So then we go put our gear on and we come out ready to play basketball. He'd already put the basketballs away.
Oh, boy.
Up the rope, in the weight room, you know, go around the track a couple of times.
Oh, boy. But maybe that's it. It's going back into our past and finding the things to be grateful for, because it does help us, besides finding another, being able to count another bead on our rosary for it, it does help us to see gratitude in the entire tapestry of our life. And actually, how does that roll forward into all of your muscles move, all of your organs are working intact, and there's no pain anywhere in your body, or if it is, it's manageable. There's three more beads right there. And it's not the point to get the beads, but it is to see the world, to see our lives, to see today differently, because there's so much that's pulling away and diluting it. Does it all just come back to everything we've talked about? Is it simple? Yet profound, that really it does. I mean, the human body is amazing, just all the intricacies and how dynamic it is, and that it navigates without us even thinking about it. It compensates and fixes things and so on and so forth. But it's that coming back to when he said, this is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice. It's only when we come down to such forced simplicity and really just so much difficulty, how much have we valued life when we're standing in the hallway of a hospital?
Yeah.
So while it's not pleasant, but what can we do? What can we bring? What can we harvest from it, really? And then coming back to the beautiful scene you described about watching Mass or your home parish with your children, it all kind of comes back into that. It rolls into that this is part of our family tapestry. What are we going to bring more of, and what are we going to, like, just move through as quickly as possible, you know?
Yeah, and but, boy, imagine the the great and glorious day when we when we actually get to go outside and I think about, I remember being in this town that I'd never been in before and walking into a grocery store there. I didn't even have a mask or, uh-huh. You know, you think, what was I thinking? And you go, no, that was okay.
Right.
It was okay. And it's hard to imagine those days are just around the corner, but they are. The other thing, and I don't even know where it is in the Bible, but this too shall pass away.
Right.
I remember my dad telling me that at some, what I thought was a crisis in my life long ago. This too shall pass away. And you're like, no, it won't, man. This is, you know, no, it won't. This is devastating. This is difficult. I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel here. And by golly, this too shall pass. I don't even know what I'm talking about right now.
Right.
I really don't even remember what it was that I thought this is a pretty tough time. Couldn't have been that bad, but, you know, I just remember my dad saying, this too shall pass away. And by golly, he was right.
Yeah, and it's all relative. It wasn't that big to you then, but your dad, who had been through probably what you had been through that he was talking to you about, and a whole lot more, that he was able to say that with confidence and love so that to kind of help you to honor what you were going through, but to just try to give you the bigger picture, wrapping back into parents being God's heart and hands. We are so important right now. We always have been, but the spotlight is on us right now. And for mothers, as so many families are reevaluating, how much can we live on? How much do we really need? What way is best to educate our children? And all of that, everything has to be talked about, is being talked about now. And that's part of the difficulty, is so much has changed. We did just say, oh, we're just going to get another job, or we're going to move. It's happening to us. So there is a lot, and we've talked a lot about all the scripture that's going to help us, but then coming back to what you were talking about in the family and with parents and how you're talking about it to your children, that's the most important thing that I think we can do as parents, is being present and just going with it and seeing what shows up, but then realizing that we are God's heart and hands for our children. He is working through us to form tomorrow for our children. It's like your dad, like he did through your dad. That now it's bearing fruit for you.
Indeed. Jane, always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, Bob. It was great talking with you.
God's Heart and Hands Ministry.
Yes.
Give the website.
Oh, well, the website still has had some issues, but on Instagram, he's also called me to do pro-life work. It's pro-life hearts, @pro-life hearts on Instagram. That's probably the best way.
Very good. Thanks so much,
well,
Jane.
Well, thank you. God bless.
God bless you, too. That's Jane Lee, God's Heart and Hands Ministry. I will listen to you. When you look for me, you will find me. So those are in the good book. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you look for me, you will find me. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
Empty hands held high, such small sacrifice. Not joined with my life, I sing in vain tonight. May the words I